nutrition and balance.
Built to stimulate around the eyes.
The latest and greatest wellness trends, treatments, and experience.
Magnesium is naturally found in foods like.
This is the Well and Good podcast. Tune in to find the wellness that fits your frequency.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Taylor Camille, senior producer at Well and Good, and on today's episode, we're going to take you on a run. Not a real run, more of a run down with some of our favorite people in the running world in conjunction with our United States of Running initiative, which you can find on site and linked in the show notes with training ending November 6th. I myself am not a runner. Kate nor Ella would describe themselves as such either. But collectively, we wondered, what does it mean to be a runner, and what keeps runners like Tracy Copeland, Jordan Marie Daniel, Kelly Roberts, and Myrna Valerio motivated to train? They each have different entry points to running, but all have some kind of evolving relationship with it. We'll start this journey with Myrna in Vermont.
A runner is somebody that runs. A person that, you know, you may walk a little, you may crawl a little depending on where your activity is taking you. But, you know, if your feet are suspended together in midair for a couple of milliseconds, you know, that's running. And if your body moves in that way and it's something that is important to you, something that is important to your lifestyle or your identity, then you are a runner. My name is Myrna Valerio, and I am currently living in Montpelier, Vermont. This is where I live and train as an ultra marathoner, a cyclist, an all-around adventurer. I'm a mom of an 18-year-old. I'm an author and a diversity, equity, and inclusion practitioner. Even if you haven't consistently run, or maybe you took a break, you're still a runner. I have been injured for just over a year, and I haven't been running a lot. And that's a question that I ask myself every day. Am I still a runner? Can I still call myself a runner? Do I still embody the ethos of a runner? And yes, I absolutely do.
So how did running find you?
Do we have 3 hours? Is the question. Running found me when I was 13 years old. I was at a boarding school. It was a new school for me. And I was trying out for the field hockey team because I really, really had always wanted to play a sport. And I had never been able to because, you know, of my family's non-existent budget for extracurricular. So this was my chance. I get out there and our first activity is to run 5 or 6 loops of the field, which I later learned was just about a mile. And I never had to run that much ever before that warm-up. And it was a warm-up, right? And we were on grass. I was wearing the wrong shoes and the wrong clothes. I had not heard of sports bras. I didn't even know what they were, but I really wanted to do a sport. So we did this warm-up and I was the penultimate person. And I was, you know, heaving and just having a tough time of it. But I finished that warm up. And after doing some stretching exercises and getting to know you, icebreakers, we had to run a timed mile. And I was like, we have to run more? Like, what's... can we just play the sport? And so after this timed mile, I was penultimate again. And then we have 2.5 hours of practice. And I was like, oh my goodness, I really wanted to be on this team. So I was going to do whatever I could to be on this team. And the coach came up to me while we were doing line drills, while I'm heaving and, you know, hawing and not being able to breathe. Yeah, you're out here, right? Isn't this hard? I'm like, you know, nodding my head, and because I couldn't speak. She's like, you know what? But you're out here, you're doing it. That tells me that you want to be here. Good job. Keep it up. Whoa. That was one of the most transformative moments in my life. Because I really thought she was going to come up and say, you know, thanks, but no thanks. You know, go do theater. But yeah, I stayed on the team and I started running the next day. I was like, I got to get good at this because I'm not good. And ran that same 5 or 6 loops of the field. I did that a couple times a week. And then I got better. I became a better athlete. Then I just fell in love with being by myself on that field at 6 o'clock in the morning, even when it was dark, and just running those loops. And I only ran like a mile a couple times a week. But it was one of those things that changed the trajectory of my life. And so when I run today, I think about smelling those wild onions that grew along the side of the field. I think about how the grass felt and the dew that made my shoes all wet and then they would end up smelling. And I remember all that stuff. But I also remember the camaraderie I got from that team. Every time I run, all of that is wrapped up into that one moment, that first time I actually went out and like did something so hard for me that was so painful and all over my body and on my spirit, but it ended up being such a good thing for me. You know, sometimes I'm not motivated, but sometimes I just run to run because I need to for my mental health, my physical health. I have this overarching idea that I am putting health and wellness into the bank for later on and also for today.
Moving down south, roughly 342 miles, you'll end up in the city of New York with Kelly.
I call myself the self-proclaimed former president of the I effing hate running club because that was me, you know, like the fact that I've run 10 marathons and that like I wake up and I'm like, oh, I would really like to go for a run today. Like that blows my mind that that's my life. My name's Kelly Roberts. I am the founder of an online community and an in real life community called the Badass Lady Gang. We're kind of the anti-runners runners club. You know, like we are community first in a fun workout second, but running gets a very bad rap. I think most of us have a very tumultuous relationship with running. Like most of us are really working through the 6th grade mile or the presidential fitness test. Most of us found it later in life. A lot of us weren't athletic. Some of us were, but for the most part, it's like people who are really trying to redefine their relationship with getting active and feeling good about the things that they're doing, whether that's running sometimes, and just because it makes you feel good, or chasing a big goal like your first half marathon or a marathon or your first 5K. But for me, like, I don't have a history with running. I don't have a history with athleticism. And it took a really long time to get here. Like, my life fell apart. My brother had passed away. I had graduated from college, from circus school. I didn't know what was next. I was having like relationship troubles and all of the things that I was running from in my life. I'm like, great, I need a new space to run from those problems. And running was so horrible that I didn't have time to feel sorry for myself or think about anything. Like it truly was right foot, left foot, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die, which was like this masochistic, lovely break from all the horrible things that were happening to me. It was an hour where I didn't have to feel anything. And I really did run from my problems. And eventually I realized like, what was happening to me and why I was running from my problems. And with time, I learned I wasn't this quitter that I thought I was, and I wasn't an inathletic person, and I didn't need to run marathons in order to be a runner. I could go for a 10-minute run, or I could go for a 20-minute walk. And I learned a lot more balance. But if you don't like to run, you don't run. You know, you might feel compelled to run, in which case, go for it. That was my case with it. I didn't like it. I wasn't a runner, but I really felt compelled to do it because I really needed it. And eventually I learned to love it, but it's definitely like, I love running. I hate running. I love running. I hate running. Like those are like the two things that are like constantly happening for me. It's interesting because the beginning phase where you're so anxious and unsure and you just start falling down rabbit holes, hearing all of these just wackadoo terms for the first time. And you're like, I don't understand any of it. And you're getting hurt because you're running too much. You're just doing everything wrong because you don't know how to do it right. And it's just too confusing. That's like the beginning stage. You're just like a scared little puppy. You're the anxious puppy in the kennel. And then there's like the deep end of the pool where I call it the run hole phase. Like you're a total dick. You are like canceling on everyone you know because you have to wake up on Saturday to run, and you will tell anyone and everyone about what you're doing and running and how fast you run. You're like, oh my God, I ran a 12-minute mile. You're like checking out and the cashier's like, that'll be $24. And you're like, oh my God, that's so crazy. I ran for 24 minutes yesterday. Isn't that crazy? You'll tell anyone. And then there's the phase where you get really cocky and you're just like giving everyone advice on running, you know, and no one wants to hear it because you don't know what you're talking about. Or maybe you do, but still no one wants to hear it. And then it's like you become jaded and you burn out because you do all the things. You do everything and you do it too hard. And then you're like, oh my God, who am I without this thing? And then there's like the injury phase where you get your first real big injury and you hate your life and it's like depression. And then it's like you cycle back through it.
And now we'll head 2,831 miles west to Washington State with this year's trainer for Well and Good's United States of Running program.
My name is Tracy Copeland, and I'm a trainer and a yoga instructor and a dancer and just a mover of life. I grew up in the Midwest, and now I'm currently residing in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. What makes you a runner is putting on some running shoes on day one and saying, I'm going to go out and run some miles today, knowing that I was that kid in middle school who couldn't really finish the mile. And then I go out for the track team and I end up becoming a sprinter and a jumper. And when you sprint and when you become a jumper, you have to train like a runner. That was a good test of my endurance and just really getting outside of my comfort zone. And we end up going to state that year. So I think that gave me like a boost and some confidence and say, hey, you know what? You're better and you're stronger than you think you are. I was looking at other ways to challenge myself as I get older. And I ended up just starting to train for a marathon out of the blue, just to see if I could do it. One marathon led to the next marathon, which led to a half marathon. And I by no means call myself a super fast marathon runner, but I like the challenge that running gives you because it's a good way of just letting your mind go. But also, I find running to be very meditative and contemplative. It's been a really good tool for me and the workouts that I like to do. I want to run when I'm 70. I want to run when I'm 80. I don't know if I will be doing marathons, but I would like to at least be doing a 5K. My dad, when he turned 65, he did the DC marathon. And I think that was like, okay, he's doing this at 65. I got to be able to do something like that when I'm 65, whether that's ultra, triathlon, something. You know, I think sometimes we have to be able to challenge our bodies just to know what we're capable of. And I think running is a good testament of that. So I hope that people can find that type of joy in running as well.
And now down 1,136 miles to California.
My name is Jordan Marie Brings, Three White Horses Daniel. I'm Kuichasha Lakota, a citizen of Kuichasha Oyate, the Lower Bull Sioux Tribe in central South Dakota. I currently live and work on occupied Tongva, Chumash, and Keech lands, which is also known as Los Angeles, California. And I wear many hats, as well as being a professional runner and just a lover of running. I am the founder and executive director of Rising Hearts, very grassroots oriented, very community centered, and about providing a platform of knowledge and to cultivate community in the most intersectional ways possible. Running is in my blood, literally. I'm a fourth generation runner, so I come from a long history of long, middle, short distance running. I guess my body liked the longer distance, even though I tried so hard to become a sprinter. It's what I truly love. And it's evolved over time, not just in the sense of running, but it's evolved with me as a person. Parts of my life, from family running and legacy to native representation of an athlete to finally finding running for the love and joy of just me running, not having that pressure of running and family, but finding it for myself and truly falling in love with it, to now intersecting running with advocacy. It's another expression to communicate something. And I think for so long, I always compartmentalized my advocacy from my running. And I think that was me trying to protect my running and just make sure that that was always my thing that I had that I could enjoy and always go to and have it be my stress outlet or whatever it was. But I think when it came down to being fed up with the lack of visibility of what was going on in our communities with this injustice of violence, it just showed me a new way to raise awareness, and that it's also brought me to community. And as an Indigenous person and in our culture, that's very much ingrained in into running and who we are. And I think for me, just over time, I've evolved with running, and it's helped me to become more structured, more organized, more focused. It helps with that determination and drive, but it's also helped in my healing of dealing with my own traumas. Running has always had its place for competition, to want to run fast and reach your goals or to raise awareness, but it also has provided space for healing when sometimes a run literally was filled with like crying because it was a hard day, it was a bad experience, and just being outside and in nature and on the lands and to feel like you're being cared for holistically from everything around you, to running being that outlet for you to feel safe and vulnerable with yourself. So I think it's also taught me a lot about healing and what that means for you and how that goes into your well-being.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
On this podcast, we know when it's time to take a break, but when you're running, when do you know it's time to take a break? Kelly had this advice.
For a long time, I'm like, if I stop now, I'll quit forever. I had to break through that. And then that sense of, if I don't do this today, I'm going to gain weight. That was a big piece of it. It was so complicated to work through all that shit. But I always encourage everybody, before you walk out the door, before you get on a treadmill, before you do anything, just ask yourself, do I want to do this? And if the answer is yes or maybe, right, go. If the answer is a resounding no, listen to that no.
Your relationship changes with running over time.
That's Tracy again.
Like anything, your relationship changes with people. Your relationship changes with running. And sometimes it gets more intimate and sometimes it gets less intimate. But that doesn't mean that you still don't have that relationship. I think you have to allow yourself to take some time away too. Because sometimes when you come back, you end up being a little bit stronger. And that's also because you might be doing other things that can help benefit your running. You just have to constantly be aware of that and just redefine it, even if you don't run every day, even if you're not training for that marathon.
It's all about listening to my body. When I'm having a rough day, sometimes I'm just too tired. And it's like, Jordan, how are you feeling today? Like, I'll check in with my coaches and they'll be like, no, I think you need to just take today off. Or go on your bike, go on the stationary bike, give your legs a rest, just go for 30 minutes. But like, we really let my body determine what I'm able and capable of doing that day. And if it just doesn't feel it, no need to push it. No need to create that like negative thinking of like, oh, I just did this run and it felt horrible. My legs were heavy. What does this mean? My fitness isn't good. And then you kind of just go down that dark rabbit hole of like, just like self-deprecating thoughts and all that kind of stuff. But all of our training is really centered on how is Jordan feeling today? What can you handle?
Quite the opposite experience of taking a break is that peak runner's high. I wondered if they could describe what it feels like, if it's fact, if it's fiction, and how many times they've really experienced it.
I feel like there are a couple different ways to describe it. But for me, runner's high is something that's much deeper, much more spiritual for me. And ever since I've been connecting running with prayer runs and making sure that these runs always have a purpose and intention, it's more spiritual to me. It's kind of this free, it's like, I guess what some runners would call is like the flow state. Like you're kind of in this like smooth path of like running and the race or your training, and it just feels so good. But like, this is that times 10, because you feel so connected into what you're doing, into every step, every foot just landing on the ground or on the trail or whatever it is. And then knowing that you have these prayers or people you're running for, this issue that you're trying to help support, give visibility to, it just like amplifies that even more to where it's like serenity, to where it's truly just like a really beautiful, empowering moment.
I had surgery last year on my knee. I had a torn meniscus, and then I've developed a heel spur as a result of like having a weird gait after the surgery.
That's Myrna again.
And it's been painful. And I was leading a trail running clinic down in Georgia this weekend in the North Georgia Mountains. And I was feeling really good. And so I led this trail running clinic, and then we did 4 miles afterwards on trails that I love. And there was that feeling again, and my body didn't hurt. I was just able to move across the land, you know, with my own 2 feet. I was with people that wanted to be outside, and there's no time, right? Time doesn't exist. That is what a runner's high is for me. Time doesn't exist. You're in a zone, right? And I felt like I wasn't even doing anything. I was just there and I was present in the moment. That is what a runner's high is for me. And then afterwards, even though I'm a little sore, my foot hurt a little bit, I was like, yeah, that was a really good day. That was a really, really good morning, because I was out there in nature with the sun on my face and like feeling the earth beneath me. That's when I get that runner's high, right? And it doesn't last very long, because then I remember my foot hurts and I remember I have to turn around and do 2 more miles uphill, you know. But even then, you know, but I'm like, you know what, I'm doing this on my own. This is what I'm meant to do. This is what my body is meant to do. I don't know about your body, but this is what my body is meant to do. And it is doing that exact thing.
I hate it. I hate the phrase runner's high, because I mean, obviously I have experienced something like a runner's high. But like, I could probably count on 2 hands, like how many times it's happened. And I've been running I started running in 2013. So I've been running for like 8 years now, you know, like a long time. It's never this like, you know, the stock photos that you see of people running, that's not running. That is not running. Like if you put some fire underneath it in the meme that's like holding the mug, that's like, everything's fine. Like that's running. To me, like that runner's high, and the reason that I kept doing it was like, it really is a sense of accomplishment, or it really is a way to close a stress cycle and to just like feel that release. Like, you know, when you're crying, like you are like really having a breakdown or a moment, you're crying. And there's that one moment where you take a really big, deep breath and you feel that teensy bit of if you have like 100 pounds on your shoulder, like a 2 pound weight got taken off, but you notice. That is to me like those moments.
And I never thought I would feel this because, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with running. And I think it's okay to love-hate it because you have to love how you feel afterwards. But I think when you get that sensation of that runner's high, it doesn't happen within the first 5 minutes. It doesn't always happen within the first 20. It depends on how long you're running. But for me, it's felt like I could just keep running. It's almost like that Forrest Gump scene where he's just like, I just decided to keep running and well, I wasn't tired, so I'm just going to keep on going. And that's basically what the runner's high is. You just feel like you can run indefinitely. And it's just like, you don't want to stop,
right?
You know, and you stop when you need to, but that's what that feeling is. You feel kind of invincible.
And here's some tips they had to offer new runners.
Find the right pair of shoes, you know, get tested, you know, maybe go to a store that watches your stride, watches how you walk and sees how you pronate, supinate, all those things. That way you could get in the right shoe that'll help you run. Mm-hmm. And I think once you do that, then I would say just start slow. It's not something that you have to do every day. I wouldn't even recommend doing it every day for anybody unless you're training for something. But I would say like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
And like, you know, celebrate the mini milestones, you know, like first day you ran 5 minutes. Okay, great job. Congratulate yourself. And then like the next day you can run 6 minutes. So I think you have to really gradually progress yourself and know that it's not always going to be, you're going to run 5 minutes, you're going to run six, then you're going to run seven. And you have to be able to just constantly push yourself to go a little bit longer and a little bit faster. And I think that will happen naturally over time. So I think it's starting slow, but also what I like to say is don't be afraid to run sexy pace as long as you need to. And sexy pace is like the pace that you run where you're running and you can still talk and like look cute and like not sweat too much, you know?
I love that.
So I would keep it sexy for the first, bit, maybe the first month or so. And then you could really start to push yourself and see where it goes.
Be kind to yourself and enjoy it, because as soon as it's not fun, then you need to take a break or you need to kind of reevaluate how you're approaching it. But take baby steps. If you're someone who is brand new to running, you know, my favorite workout that I always recommend to a lot of people that do come and ask is, you know, walk for 1 minute, run for 1 minute, and go for 10 minutes. And then as you're progressing every day, like, do that for a week straight or for 5 days straight and then take the weekend off. The next week, go for 12 minutes and do that for 5 days and take the weekend off. But it's just about being, you know, kind to your body.
If you can not do it alone, don't do it alone, right? Like if you can encourage your friend or a mom or someone in your family, someone at work, someone to do it with you, and they don't need to be physically with you, right? Like you guys can connect online. I think if there's one thing we've really, really come to appreciate, it's that like you can really be in touch with anyone now and like actually have meaningful connection over FaceTime or Skype or WhatsApp or wherever you Zoom, you know, just texting and stuff like that. So like if you can do it with another person, do it with another person. It's just more fun. It's more fun to complain together. It's more fun to like support each other that way because one of you will be dragging one and then you're going to reverse, you know? If you can do that, do that. And then pick a goal. Have a short-term goal to work towards. You don't need to immediately go to a half marathon or a marathon. You can if you want to. There's plenty of articles out there that are like, don't run a marathon until you've been running for a year. You know, like, no, if you do what you want to do, if you feel compelled to do something, go do it. That's something speaking to you. But like having a distance like a mile or a 5K, those are great goals to like have structure to play within. But it's also perfectly fine to say like, great, this week I'm going to run for 5 minutes every other day. And then next week I'm going to try 10 minutes. And then the next week, 15 minutes. And then the next week, 20 minutes. And then I'm going to say, do I like this?
Don't overthink it. Running is something that humans are meant to do. We might be out of practice, but it's in our DNA. You know, we know how to do it, right? And so, and there's no one way of running. So get out there, you know, lace up your running shoes. Some people run barefoot. I don't recommend it unless you have really strong feet. But, you know, go out there and run. Take it slow. Stop when you need to. Don't run too fast. You know, smell the roses. Well, roses don't really smell like roses anymore, but smell the wild onions or the exhaust. But, you know, get out there and like have a whole experience. And then when it gets hard, stop and take it all in. You know, what are you smelling? What are you feeling? What do you taste in your mouth? Hopefully it's not blood. What do you see? What do you hear? Be in the moment. And then, you know, once you can breathe again, start running again. It's not more than that.
And for these resilient runners with a lot of wisdom, I wanted to know what running has made them appreciate.
The biggest thing that running taught me is like, hey, maybe you should pay more attention to what you're saying to yourself. Because that's probably the problem. It's not like all of the horrible things that you think are happening. It's really just like you don't believe in yourself. You're afraid of failing. And you don't know how to sit still. So let's sit still and just like let your mind wander.
Running has made me appreciate my body. And especially in a time where people with my kind of body are hated. But I have this incredible relationship with my body. I know what it can do. And it can do a lot. It can go very long distances. It can suffer through many illnesses. It can carry a child. It has made me appreciate the earth. And it's made me very aware and very appreciative of the land that I'm on.
It's made me appreciate the environment that I'm in, wherever I am. And it gets me outside to explore, because I think, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, it's like, okay, we can't really go anywhere. So, but I can go outside and run. And I think it's portable. You know, it's something that you don't need. All you need is your body and some shoes. You know, that's all you need, and you could do it anywhere. So I think it's given me that sense of, all right, I can run anywhere, anytime, any place, and my relationship with running is constantly going to be changing.
On today's show, you heard from Tracy Copeland, Jordan Marie Daniel, Kelly Roberts, and Myrna Valerio. This episode was produced by Ella Dove, Kate Spees, and myself, Taylor Camille, along with many other hands and brains at Well and Good. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. Mixing and scoring by our sound engineer, Joanna Samuel, and our theme music was created by Madeline Lekomsky and Matt DiDomenico. Our show art was designed by Jenna Gibson and Karina Masonette.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.